what's that?
What do a badass fighter who escapes prison to avenge his brother's death and a jerk-ass time traveler who backtracks to a pivotal point in his life have in common?
Wow, I have no idea. What do they have in common?
Well, let's find out, because this week I watched Romeo Must Die.
This week I watched The Adam Project.
And now it's time to make the movie connection.
All right, here we go. Welcome in, everybody. Hi there. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where, you know, in an effort to remain connected in general and to, you know, connect over something we both really enjoy. You know, we grew up in the same household, but, you know, like, could not be more different people. But there is one thing, like, there's, at the end of the day, one thing we connect over, and that's a love of
movies.
Movies. So we decided to meet up every week, and we assign each other movies to watch, usually that we haven't seen before. And then we sit down to discuss them and review them, and we try to figure out, hey, is there any connective tissue between these two movies?
Any at all.
Any single connection or multiple? Like, sometimes there aren't a lot, but sometimes there are a ton.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're a stretch. Sometimes they're a little loosey-goosey. I found some loosey-goosey connections this week. Could be stronger, but you know what? They're there. So the
I
show
feel like I found some strong ones. So this is good.
Good.
I guess mine are sort of general, but I feel like they're strong general.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Strong general. just like we should have our generals. Strong.
Yes, that's right. General Strong, reporting for duty.
All right. Yeah. So, and like these two movies, you know, not, I always like to start off, you know, how much do these work as like a double feature, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much, but.
Not so good.
But they are, like I think I said in a text to you, I think they both are going to be interesting to discuss for very different reasons.
Very true. Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Because to start off, I mean, Romeo Must Die, I mean, this must have been a ride for you. Like, you no context, you never saw this, right?
Never saw this. What a ride it was.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies where I'm like, to love it, did you have to see it originally? Like, is it almost a cult classic-like movie?
I guess, like, and I wouldn't even say I love it. Like, it's definitely, like, I loved
quirky.
It. Yeah, I loved it for a period of time because this is definitely for, like, a teenager, high schooler age for sure.
Yeah.
It's just such an interesting genre or blending of genres, really.
Yes.
As with most things, you know, many things don't age well, like an entire fight sequence, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just the
dim sum one.
Well, not even that one. Yeah, we might get into it because I'm just like,
okay. Oh my
God, this reads differently now. But you know what? Without further ado, let's talk about this one.
All right. Romeo Must Die.
He must.
Apparently. In a sort of modern-day martial arts take on Romeo and Juliet, Jet Li plays a Romeo character of sorts, Han, who starts falling for Alea Hawtin's Juliet character, Trish. Li is an ex-police officer investigating his brother's murder in America, which is where he meets Trish. She starts helping him search for answers, and they find some in Trish's father, who knows more than he should know. Soon, he and Han are at war with kung fu action and a soundtrack by Aleha.
Yeah. And that.
I do really love her music.
See, that's another
big
appeal. Yep. Another big appeal for me was like, Leia's just so awesome. You know, that might be the first question, really, because, Leia, so you're familiar with her.
Yeah, she's one of those people that, like, maybe from hearing her name, I don't know instantly her songs.
Right.
But, like, as her songs were playing in the film, especially the last one that played, like, I was like, oh, I know these songs. Like, you know,
right.
They definitely played on the radio when I was young.
Yep.
Like, yeah, very cool.
Like, look them up. And this is, more and more, like, especially recently, I'm finding I really enjoy, you know, that 90s R&B hip-hop.
Me too. And
especially the black female voices at the time.
Hell yeah.
They were, on point, so.
Hell yeah.
So, really been enjoying digging into those, because that's, I mean, you have so many to dig into from there, like Brandy.
Brandy's so good.
What is it? TLC, for God's sake. Like,
Destiny's Child.
Yeah, Destiny's Child.
You really want to get into it. They're a little more pop, but they had some.
Still.
Ugh. They had some good ones.
Good stuff. So, you know, she's one of these, like, she was known for her music and then, you know, gave acting a shot.
Yeah.
How do you think she does?
I actually thought she was so good.
Like
she, for me, she really sold the whole thing, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like, right. She really kind of carried, like, the emotional. Yeah, she kind of did. I mean, his fighting skills are obviously fucking-tastic, but, like, her acting skills were there. She had some really, like, especially, this isn't my favorite scene or anything, so I can talk about it. The scene where she talks about the really fucked up thing they did when they were a kid and they told.
But I was like, this better take a turn quick.
But I mean, like, and then when she starts crying, I was just like, oh, this hits me. Like, it hit, you know?
At first, I was like, uh-oh, this isn't, I'm not liking this.
This is a fucked up story, man.
Not ingratiating this character to me. it's the end to it that it's like, oh, shit, okay, never mind. Like, I'm good. Like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And she's one of those, like, she actually has the skills and probably would have gone on to, you know, RIP, unfortunately, gone too soon.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think she would have gone on to do great things because she was in Queen of the Damned. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but she's pretty dang good in that.
I think I have.
Don't worry about it. But maybe watch it for her performance because, again, like, really good. Awesome. So, you kind of touched on it. This movie has a title that relates it to the Shakespearean tragedy, Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You squint and you can see it, I guess. Like, okay, look, this is the connection. Where are the connections? Like,
Right? I think that, like, a lot of love stories can be tied back to Romeo and Juliet in some form or another. This one is a real loose retelling, right? Because we have, like, essentially two gangs at war.
Okay, so there we go.
And there's, like,
Romeo
a person
and
from each side that love each other.
Right.
And their families don't want them to be together.
Very interesting to make it pretty, like, it's a cultural divide. It's a,
for sure.
Or, you know, or ethnic divide, whatever. It's, it's very much, they say it often, you know, it's Blacks versus the Chinese.
Yes.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So, there you got your Capulets and your crap. What was the other?
Montague.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay. So, there we go. Now, and it's not really a love story. So that kind of, you know, that waters it down a bit.
They liked each other.
Right, and had pretty good chemistry.
And they did have good chemistry when they were dancing. It was super cute and fun. And he missed, there wasn't quite enough buildup for him. But then again, if you read Romeo and Juliet, there's really no buildup there either. It's a very short story that, like, takes place very quickly and then they die. They don't die in this, though.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so there, see, you know what? We're watering it down more and more.
But
And then so those are really Those are really the only connections, is that star-crossed
that feuding battle, the star-crossed lovers.
Yeah.
So. And I, like I said, like I think a lot, like almost every love story, I'm going to be real broad about that, can be tied back to like Shakespeare especially, but Romeo and Juliet really like ties in nicely, you know, with the warring families for sure.
Yeah.
But definitely you got to squint on this a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. What an interesting title too. Cause I mean, it's bold. It's like, you know, like
it is. Cause yeah, if it wasn't called that, I would never have put that connection there. Right.
Yes. Right. Also,
so that's the thing, is you're kind of like, this is like a lot of other love stories.
Yeah,
sure. But I wouldn't have immediately said, oh my God, it's like Romeo and Juliet. Cause totally. It's not really, other than like the instant connection and the warring families.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. So I just always found that interesting. It's like, yeah, what an interesting title. And what a, like, I guess it's Romeo and Juliet-esque, but well, fortunately it doesn't call itself Romeo and Juliet or anything.
Right.
You know, we've really only seen one other martial arts heavy action thriller, Rumble in the Bronx.
That's right.
Yes. Which still, God, I love that movie.
That movie is fantastic. I love it too.
How would you compare Mr. Jet Li and his fighting style with the action, you know, and the action star persona and his action star persona versus Jackie Chan's, you know, fighting style and action star persona?
Yeah, I think Jackie Chan has always had a little bit more comedy associated with him. And
which
so
tries some humor, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't think much was funny in this.
Yeah.
But the fighting in this is probably much better.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's like very, very like stylized, good choreography in the fighting.
Right.
But yeah, Jackie Chan's characters are usually just a little bit more humorous, a little bit more flippant about things.
Yeah. More comedic. Yeah. And, you know, also, I think he tends to be more like, yeah, DIY, like pretty much what you see is what you're getting.
Yes.
Versus this one, like, I mean, we are definitely on wires. Like, sometimes I swear you see the wires.
Yeah. And it is interesting too, because this movie really does remind me more of like kung fu movies that I saw on TV that were dubbed over with English when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Because it's like got a level of cheese.
Yeah. Yes.
To it that like maybe, you know, the Rumble in the Bronx didn't quite have, actually.
Right. Or just, I don't know, like it might be all cheese and that's why it works. I don't know.
It's so weird too, because
it's just a trip. Oh, I love
that
it.
Movie is so fun. This one was fun too. And you know, the like weird background music they had in the Romeo Must Die, like that almost Seinfeld. Yeah. Almost Seinfeld-esque, reminded me of like Street Fighter music.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
And so I kept like sort of getting pulled out of it almost a little bit, because I was like, this music is kind of weird to be put here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Video gamey. Like it does.
It is video gamey.
You know, Jet Li actually is in a video game, and I had that video game. Because I went through a Jet Li phase. Like Jet Li,
yeah, you did.
Kind of the man for a second.
Yeah, he's cool.
Well, definitely in terms of martial arts starts, because, you know, those like change like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really liked him in a lot of his movies. This one was, and again, this movie is just so interesting to me because of the so it's part martial arts movie, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually, it's mostly like that urban, you know, gangster film.
Yes.
I almost said hood movie. Not hood movie, though, because it doesn't take place in the hood. It takes place in the city. But no, those, yeah, the very, like, African-American-led gangster, you know, street-level gangster fucking films, and which were always, like, very hip-hop-driven and shit like that. There's a lot of hip hop in here too,
mm-hmm.
Which very interesting flavors that work to work very well, and then at other times it's like, wow, that, you know, couldn't
it's
be more
out of place a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I really liked. I'd say, what would you say percentage? Like, it's almost 50-50, like maybe 60, you know, 40. 60 that gangster film, and then the other 40 martial arts, but because the martial
yeah,
arts,
I think so.
You know, it's too slow for its own good, that's for sure.
Yes, I agree with that.
Where it's just like, yo, this is supposed to be a martial arts movie, I think, and yet it's been a long time before, you know, we had a fight scene. Let's
right.
go.
Right. Right. Totally.
Sometimes appreciated, but all, because, you know, you need the breathing room, but not that much breathing room.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of breathing room.
Yeah.
In between each fight sequence.
Right, right. But, you know, yeah, not fun in the same way. Definitely more, it definitely wanted you to feel the emotions more.
Yeah, it took itself more seriously for sure.
Yeah, right. Did you have a favorite 90s female R&B hip hop artist, or, you know, I'm a fan of the genre we were just talking about.
90s specific, I think it would be Brandy probably. Brandy. I have a real soft spot in my heart for her.
Good choice. Solid choice.
I love Mary J. Blige too.
Night. Oh yeah.
She's so fucking good. And she played at the Super Bowl this year with Snoop and Eminem, and it was fucking awesome, man.
Nice. That's actually one that I've been neglecting. That's a blind spot for me. I'll have to get on her Spotify.
Ugh,
radio.
I love her so much.
Yeah, so good. Good choices. Good. Let's see here. Did you find yourself rooting for one side more than the other, or maybe a particular character more than the other?
You know, I thought about that while I was watching it. And for the most part, I just thought there's like so much unnecessary fighting on both sides right here. And it was hard for me to pick one over the other.
Which that's like, a fair answer, where it's like they're both kind of, they're both bad.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's part of the point. And actually, you know, that was part of the Shakespearean play, where it's like the families suck. It's Romeo and Juliet that you're kind of supposed to find solace with, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely did with these two characters. Like, you know what? I just want them to be okay. That would be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like her dad came around in the end.
Yes. Right. Which, I mean, played spectacularly by Mr. Delroy. I love Delroy Lindo. So.
Yeah, he was fantastic, honestly.
Yeah, I love that actor. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But for the most part, I was just like, I feel like this is so unnecessary. And I feel like you're both being pretty evil right now.
Yeah. And then there's, oh God, and then there's the white guys. Oh my God. And talk about, like, I love that, they, like, wow, we're really going for, like, yeah, he's a racist ass, like,
mm-hmm.
businessman with, yeah, that played very well by whoever the hell that was. Like,
right. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you have a, like, if it doesn't conflict with your favorite scene, did you have a favorite fight scene?
It does conflict with my favorite scene.
Great. Okay. Well, then, you know what? I think it's a perfect time to segue right into our favorite questions.
Favorites.
All right, Casey. So let's start with favorite performance. Like,
okay.
Yeah, this is pretty easy to pick out, I think.
Yeah. My favorite performance was Aaliyah.
Yeah.
She was so good. She was the heart of the movie, man.
Clearly, like, yeah, and absolutely, like, gave me, was so refreshing, like, and, you know, no discredit to Jet Li, I think this
right.
was his first movies, our first American-made movie and everything mm-hmm. like that, so, still getting used to things, and just, you know, still a little stiff and getting used to this, because it's different from, you know,
totally.
Movies made in the East.
Yes.
So, nothing against him, because he's still fucking great, but I'm,
yeah.
but, you know. He's,
yeah, he's my secondary. He's my honorary. Like, right. he was great. He was like, in my head, kind of the supporting role.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, both of them were
it's
great,
called
though.
Romeo Must Die, but no, we're coming for the Aaliyah. Staying yeah. for Jet Li, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those fight scenes were awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. I really like this whole cast was actually pretty solid.
They were, yeah. Her dad was great, the actor that played him.
Loved the brother.
So good.
Colin, you know. And that even even the cartoonish fucking the villain Kai, I think his name was, or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh my god.
Pretty great.
Skin baby. all right. Favorite so that's our honorary favorite scene. Let's hear it.
My favorite scene was the fire hose fight scene.
Really? Oh, so this is the scene I'm talking about.
Oh, it is? But, oh, shit.
Because I feel like, I don't know, like maybe I am reading too much into it. There is a history of African Americans with fire hoses.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Because, like, you know, frequently used, you know, fire hoses on them. Police would do that. And, like,
well.
So part of me is
makes
just
me
like,
a bad person.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if this is like okay, but you're right in that it's a really impressive fight scene, though.
It's such a good fight scene. I didn't even think like that deeply into it.
Yep.
Maybe I should have read into it, but
this is the problem. This is the problem with fucking liberal America these days. I mean, like, you know what I mean? It does kind of get tiring, you know.
Yeah.
Because, so let's, I think, yes, let's, I think we're just going to stick with.
I took it at face value. Yeah, it was a cool fight scene. Like, it was entertaining.
Because it also involves Mo, which any fight scene that has Mo in it is.
Is great.
It's great. Very satisfying fight scene. I agree.
Yes. I did love the car chase scene, too. The girl that he fought, and he's like, "You're Chinese," and then he like wasn't wanting to fight her, and she's like, "If you're getting your ass kicked, man," like that was her. Like a good second for me. That was a great scene.
Which good for her, and it's like, yeah, no, seriously, like you know, and I think like yeah, now we would like it's like yeah, no, bro, like defend yourself, it's okay,
right? Yeah, for real, she's kicking your ass.
Cute though, like again, cute, like you know, Jet Li like pulls off that cute.
Yeah, he does.
You know, yes, I love the, because here, and that's the other thing, is it's Jet Li at his best. He's really good with, like, I don't know what you would, like, rope-type weapons like that.
Yeah.
He's really well with weapons like that. And this fire hose is, yeah, no exception. Awesome. Good choice. Favorite quote?
My favorite quote is from Han. He says, "I'll let fate decide what to do with you. If the police don't get you, the other Chinese families will. Do what you will, father. But this time, no one will go to prison for you."
Ooh.
And I just liked it because I'm like, good for you for standing up for yourself, man.
Yeah.
Nice right. Conclusion to the story with his dad.
Yeah, not just a meek right. Fellow. No, well, clearly not. Like, he'll kick all your...
For real.
God, for me, it's almost like... You're not the only one that knows some shit.
And then he starts fighting him.
I really shout out to God dang it, who Anderson something Anderson. I fucking love that actor. He went on to be. I mean, he does so much now. He's in Blackish, I believe.
Oh, cool.
But I always thought that guy was so fucking funny, and it started with this, I think.
Yeah.
Also shout out to and RIP to DMX also, you know, very recent passing of him. So just wanted to shout that out. It's unfortunate. We lost two really good black artists here. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So awesome. So with that said, would you what would you rate it? How many out of 5 stars? How many stars do you give Romeo Must Die?
I think I'm going to give it a 2.5.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like debating between a 2.5 and a 3. And I think that it's just not quite at 3 for me, but I liked it. It was middle of the road, easy to watch, a little slow, like you said.
Yep. It's one of those where it's like, it feels almost like if there was a student film school for, you know, getting prepared to do a real like big budget action film. Like this is that quality.
Sort of the indie version of an action movie.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Still really good. Like, you know.
Still great, yeah.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Good performances all around.
Yeah. Would you rewatch or recommend?
Rewatch, maybe.
Yeah.
Recommend, again, maybe. Like, if somebody I knew wanted to watch something with, like, some kick-ass fighting sequences, I would for sure recommend it.
But there's better martial arts movies out there.
There are, yeah.
And would you reboot it?
It could be fun.
That could be really cool.
It could be really fun.
Yeah.
We have better background music now. Yep.
And I would still go for that blend of that hip hop edge, but with that fucking like martial arts, like, yeah,
yes,
overall arc, you know, going through it.
And if you're going to call it this, maybe like tie it into Romeo and Juliet a little more.
Even more, yeah, yeah.
Just a little more, yeah.
Some swords in there, fuck it. Like,
fuck it, man. Like, have it take place at a Renaissance fair. Sure. Like, figure it out.
Like, especially if you're gonna, like, this would be great theatrical, like...
Oh, yeah, it would be an awesome play.
What do I want to say? International blockbuster potential, where it's you know, potentially. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be into a reboot, actually.
Me too, I'm here for it.
Would be really open to, it's like, hey, get some no-name, new up-and-coming martial artists. That would be great.
And maybe, like, some Zendaya. No-name R&B artists to...
Oh. Yeah, okay.
No, I mean, she could be amazing in it, but, like, for the music portion.
Oh, got
it. You know? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hip-hop soundtrack. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. I think that covers that one, right? Okay.
It sure does.
All right. Let's get into...
Let's get into it, Jacob.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about a little something called the Adam Project. That's ADAM, not ATOM, you nerds. All right, the Adam Project. Adam is a 12-year-old kid with a knack for smart-ass remarks, which often lead to him getting his smart-ass kicked. As is usually the case for kids like Adam, things at home have resulted in his acting out. Unfortunately, that something is the recent death of Adam's father, a gifted scientist and professor, played by Mark Ruffalo. Adam's mom is doing her best, but Adam's runaway mouth and lack of self-awareness make the grieving process harder on them both. But it takes the intervention of Adam's own future self, played by Ryan Reynolds, to start Adam down the path of healing and connecting with his more authentic self, the one hiding beneath the joking and toxic behavior. Adam and Adam team up to save the past and the future from a power-hungry executive who was once a trusted friend of Adam's dad, mm-hmm. which is really secondary to everything else. It really mm-hmm. is more about the personal growth story slash
totally.
Dad, you know, dad movie.
Yes.
Dad reconciliation movie.
Totally.
Which we kind of had recently, right? In Time.
About Time. About Time. That one was no, like, that guy was just a good dad. But, it is sort of another... like father-son story, which I think is nice because I don't think we actually have a lot of that in the media.
Nope.
I think we have a lot of daddy issue movies, and I think we have a lot of mom-daughter movies, but not a lot of father-son movies. So it's always nice to like see that.
Yep, and not a lot of mother-son movies, which...
Right, which this sort of is as well, a way.
Touches yeah. On. Yeah, for sure.
I wish that Jennifer was in it more because I love her, but
yes. It's the big, you know, I totally not really paying too much attention to it, but this was like the movie to reunite Mark Ruffalo and Jennifer Garner, right?
Right.
Which, you know, maybe it's a sign of a good thing. They just felt fine. So they just felt perfect, you know, I didn't need it to be the fanfare, and you know, good. They could have made it like this big.
Right. And Netflix did do one interview of them on the same 13 going on 30 couch eating the candies from that movie. And nice. They were interviewing them about the Adam Project, and it was very fanfare, but I was very glad that the movie was very separate. Yeah. I enjoy seeing them on the screen together. Like, they do have such good chemistry.
It's true.
You know, my two complaints of this film are that we don't really get enough of her, and then we don't really get enough of her and him, but I sort of appreciate it too.
Yeah, that's for Adam Project 2. No, God,
don't
no.
do
that's,
it. That's Please don't way. Do it.
If you do, like, yeah, no, it's like, yeah. We're not even pretending anymore.
The director of this is going to be the director of the new Deadpool.
Yep.
So that should be interesting.
And, you know, I don't know how I kind of like this director. He's done some things I enjoy. I got to tell you, I'm not in a rush to see Free Guy anytime soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's the same guy. It's the same team up. It's him and Ryan Reynolds, which they seem to enjoy each other.
They work well together, yeah.
Right.
Free Guy is fun.
Maybe too well. Is it? Yeah.
It's really fun. Ryan Reynolds' character in Free Guy is so ridiculous because he's pretending to be like a character that's not a real person.
Right. Yeah.
And he does like play that gullible character pretty well, actually.
Sure.
Believably.
Mm-hmm.
I should say.
Got the voice for it.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
I
gotta tell you, this was the movie that made me question. It's like, do I like Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, but no, I came up on, it's like, no, I do. Like, I do, because I enjoy most of his performances. This one, though, definitely not, like, I don't like this side. And see, this is part of it was the unhinged quality of it, where it's just like, okay, this director just loves Ryan Reynolds and is just letting Ryan Reynolds be Ryan Reynolds in the Ryan Reynolds way. And that can be a detriment in a movie, because now I'm just like, okay, can I get levels, something new, different, please.
That's my one complaint about Ryan Reynolds as well, is that sometimes it feels like he goes in, he plays a smart ass, sarcastic guy really well.
Yep.
We see it all the time in every movie he does.
Robert Downey Jr. Like, it, I mean, they're around the same age. Oh, God. No.
Oh, my God. but he does play that character well, but I am starting to see it over and over. And I'm like, come on. You have, like, he has a lot. He's showcased more than that in other films. So it's like,
he's got depth. He shows it in that. Yeah. Finally at the end. Of
right.
This
movie. Oh God. Yes. Like, it's sort of like the Melissa McCarthy treatment, where for a while they were making movies where it was just like her being kind of ridiculous.
True.
And it sort of feels like they did that with Ryan Reynolds for a little while, and hopefully. Right.
Well, I feel like we're still in it is the problem. I'm
right. Having. Hopefully we move like, out of it.
Free Guy, we got this, and now we got Deadpool 3, which I'm, again, I'm not really chomping at the bit for. Like, I haven't seen Deadpool 2, though, either.
Oh, Deadpool 2 is great.
Yeah, I liked the first Deadpool a lot. But it feels like that's where we're stuck. Like,
right.
It's like, Deadpool, great. Now just keep doing that, Ryan. It's like, no, 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 no.
No, we need to see some more. Yeah. No, I hear you. I totally hear you.
Because charming ass guy, like, hello. Like,
he is, yeah.
Good looking and fun. Like, you know, it's pretty.
He's the package, yeah.
Yeah. And he's got Blake Lively as a wife. Like, come on.
Bastard.
Like, okay, so let's, like, dig into this character in particular. Because, yeah, so. We talked about, so I related to this character a lot. Yes. So this is the kid that I thought of myself as, the kid I wanted to be. If this part was available, I would have gone for this, probably would have wanted to, let's be honest. see what I mean? Like, yeah, the sarcasm, the dry humor, right? And smarter than the bullies, like humor, like, you know, that's the type, like, you know, it's like, well, I can't beat you physically, but boy, I will annihilate you verbally. Like,
yes.
and which those are my heroes. And but unfortunately, you know, it can go this way. And but that's part of my frustration. We are back to portraying bullying this way, where it almost the bullying's hard to watch, which it should
so
be.
So hard, yes.
But I guess I felt like we were free from it, but it's important to show these things because it's the fact that it's still enduring that people should see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I hated more is that the Ryan Reynolds version of him comes in and proceeds to bully himself, bully the kid as well.
I know. What the hell, man?
I hated and yeah, turned me off to him immediately. I'm like, you are garbage, and I hope you stub your toe, and I hope that fart noise never stops. That's a sign of infection and sepsis. So really annoying. But we should not, you know, like, we should not like bullies. And this dude was bully, and it is what therapists would tell you not to do. And this is, I did work like working against this. Don't talk to yourself like this.
Yes.
Don't talk to yourself like Ryan Reynolds talks to his younger self. No, sir. But I guess the argument being, is that the point? Like, because that's, it's, part of the point was, look at what he grew up to be.
Yes.
He's being pretty, he didn't get better.
Right. He held on to a lot of trauma.
He's bullying himself. But he also, like, positions himself to be the bigger person between the two of them, though, as well. Where he's just like, hey, you, I feel bad for this. You should feel bad about this. Like, you're an awful person. It's just like, you're still that awful person because of the way you're talking to this kid, you know? I don't know.
No, I hear you.
Not care for any of that, but from the side of it's like, oh, no, the journey is, like, breaking him out of that, where it's just like, oh, he's learning to have more compassion.
Gentle with himself. Yep.
It's hard to see that when, like, I didn't see it when it's trying to, it's being too funny and, like, you know.
Yes.
A lot of the humor felt, like, mean-spirited in that way. Yeah. So, if I squint again, like, squint my eyes and try to avoid seeing all those outlying things, like, yeah, I could see where they were trying to sell that point, but it didn't, like, firmly land because yeah, they had too many moments of it's like, but we're funny, you know?
Right. Yep. I hear you.
So that was, that made it harder to watch. Like, but there were enjoyable bits. Like I did have laugh out loud moments. It was the kid that was carrying the movie in this one for me.
So my first question, how did Walker Scobell do as a young Adam / Ryan Reynolds?
See, like, he really is a young Ryan Reynolds. Like,
he's so good.
Like, they went back in time.
They found him, brought him.
And that's why Ryan Reynolds was so just open. He's just like, fuck it, I can take it. No. No, yeah, this kid was good. And apparently, like, I was ready for him to be British. I'm like, he's got to be British, right? or Canadian would be believable. Canadian, which Ryan Reynolds is Canadian, so you know.
Wow. Like,
what the fuck?
They didn't do their homework, man.
No, this kid carried the movie on his little back.
He's so good.
Yeah.
I liked him so much.
Yeah.
So, really, and good. I don't know, it is cuter, like, him being a smart ass than Ryan Reynolds being a smart ass, right?
Right. Because I can take but when the movie does want to sell, it's like, oh, no, but when he's being mean to his mom, that's not okay. Yeah, I can do better in that department. See, it did draw attention to the fact that I can be my joking can be pretty mean-spirited to my mother sometimes, you know.
Well,
I think we can all be, all can be guilty of this more so than others. Agreed. But, you know, we want to be, but let's. It did draw attention to that. It's just like, I could be a little nicer, you know?
Oh, that's cute. So,
self-reflection
happening.
Like, also, I know that mom, like, most of the time mom knows I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah, and she jokes the same way. Let's be real. Yeah.
So, you know, but again, it's good to be self-aware. And, like, if you're feeling something, then, yeah, then go with that. Don't, like, you know, don't excuse yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. If you could travel to any point in time, when and where would you go?
So you sent me this ahead of
I
time.
did, because I didn't want you to have to think on the spot, because it's kind of like a deep question.
Might as well, though, because see, this question becomes harder and harder the older you get, and especially again, we talked about this liberal America, like the more aware I become of the impact that a white cis male has had in culture, in American culture in the past and stuff, it becomes less and less appealing for me to journey back in time to times that might
Yeah.
have been fucking awesome for me,
Right.
but I know that they were really, really bad for other groups.
Sure.
This becomes the problem with like that I forget, some stand-up artists or probably multiple stand-up artists have talked about this, where it's just like, man, I don't want to go back in time. Like I think it was a black comedian where it's just like, you think I don't want to go back further than fucking the 90s, really, or something.
Yeah, totally.
60s, no thank you.
No.
Like, yeah.
Would you go forward in time if you could to see what the future
No,
holds?
because we're gonna pay hard for this shit.
You're not wrong.
No, okay, so I've arrived at like, so 1995 might be the sweet spot, because 95, like 90s still had some appeal to it. Like, let's face it, like we're just trying to redo the 90s over and over again at this point. So many of our franchises are from the 90s, and the reboots
Fashion of
are
the
from
90s are coming back. Yeah, everything from the 90s is making a comeback right now.
so there's that. There, I feel like you always have a desire to go back to your childhood time,
Yes.
and see it through different eyes, though, could be interesting.
Also, to go back as like an adult would be kind of cool, and to live in that time as an adult. Yeah, 90s is cool too because we didn't have cell phones and the technology wasn't where it is now, but
So,
like we still could call each other.
right, you wouldn't get weird looks if it's just like, hey, well, do you want to go out and play? Like, go outside and play?
Right.
And no, here's the funny thing. I feel like every generation jokes about that, though.
Yeah.
I feel like they've been making that joke since the 20s. It's like, go outside and play. Oh, you're sticking around your dang ball and jacks. What the? Get out there. I used to play that game outside. Whatever. But you know what I mean.
Do.
Despite the frustrations with the character, though, like, yeah, I feel like the point they were making was that be nicer to yourself.
Yeah, I think that was a huge part of it for
They
sure.
could have gone deeper with that,
Yeah.
is the only thing. And then, so yeah, 1995, sorry,
I
back to
like it.
original question, 1995 or 70s might be okay. 70s-ish,
Yeah, burn bra movement, like free
because I love a lot of
lifestyle.
movies from the late 60s, but culturally, the late 60s was a nightmare. So 70s might be nice. But like as a kid, you want to explore the idea of it's like, ooh, medieval times, ooh,
Yeah.
these times, like never, no, none of
I
that.
don't actually want to do that. Like, you don't really want to go back in time to before there was like running water and toilets, right? No,
Exactly. Old West would be so
I
cool. No.
really wouldn't.
No, it was absolutely not.
It was a
Yeah.
clusterfuck. Awesome. I like that answer. That's really good.
Yeah, 1995.
If you had to go back and team up with your younger self, would it work out? Like, you think you two would work well together?
After seeing this movie, yeah. Because here's the thing, I feel like I used to think of this scenario and be like, you know what? I want to go back in time, visit my younger self,
Oh, that's so cute.
and use the fucked up thing and beat the crap out of myself.
No, Jacob, no.
This
What?
movie is my movie.
Oh my God. I
Yeah.
can't.
I don't understand why.
I will say, like, even writing that question out, I was like, I need to do some child work because I don't know that I would work well with my younger self because I don't think that I would have patience for her.
Ah, I see. See, yes. And this is the problem. Like, see, yes. When you start thinking of it this way, it's like, why is that?
Right. Why is that?
Yeah, we need to have more compassion for ourselves because it's really, I think, yeah, a lot of us are really hard on those younger versions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. They were younger versions of ourselves.
Right. You grow and you change because of who you used to be.
It gets really messed up when you start deciding what your parenting tactics should have been, you know?
Yeah.
You know, of course, like, I could have done it better.
Right, but it's like, you know.
Yeah.
In hindsight, right.
Yeah, you don't have
you
any
just never control. Know.
Yeah, you don't have any control over those things. So when you start doing that and you start realizing, it's like, you know what? Given my circumstances, hey, I did all right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have compassion for yourself. It just really frustrated me because, yeah, most of my work was breaking out of that. Where it's just like, no, don't talk like that to him. Leave him alone. Like,
yeah.
You need to lose this fight. And and then that's a whole other.
I hate that part.
That is embedded in toxic masculinity. That is an old way of thinking, man.
Yeah. Like,
we have moved way beyond this. You don't have to fight. You don't have to fight. Like, granted, right. That's a choice, you know, sometimes doesn't work out for you.
Right.
But we should really, not be encouraging violence.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely think the two messages of this movie are, like you said, to be gentle with yourself.
Yep.
And especially, like, have compassion for the person you used to be.
Right.
But also, like, grieving.
Grieving.
Because, like, Adam doesn't really grieve his father. He, like, is devastated and it turns into this resentment.
Yeah.
And all he remembers are, like, his dad working a lot and, like, and he builds this resentment as he gets older and older because he never, like, deals with his death, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting to watch it under that lens too, to think about, like, if he just grieved, like, he might be a better person now.
You know, and that, that's great. And that also, yeah, that points out a problem in society as well, because we are asked to kind of move
on. And me.
Right?
I don't deal with death very well. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. And society is sort of like, move on. Don't talk about it. Don't.
Exactly. It's like, well, we've got to do. Like, yeah.
Right.
Or, oh, and then, oh, I love the solution. It's like, well, just throw yourself into your work.
No. No.
Yeah,
that's
no.
Capitalism.
Oh, no.
Do you think that Lewis is a good dad? Huh. This is a three-part question.
Okay. Lewis is...
So part one.
It was hard for me to see older Ryan Reynolds' point of view, I guess. So, well, here's the problem. I don't think we get a lot of the dad, maybe.
He doesn't even come in until, like, over an hour into the movie.
Yep. And so we get a lot of information from just two conflicting sides and points of view, which is good enough. Which is good. But also, and then we get, yes, some of him. But then, yeah, we don't really get much more than that. So maybe a little more information would have been nice. I feel like he was a good dad. And it helps that it was portrayed by Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, does this sort of make up for the last Mark Ruffalo movie we saw?
I was just going to say, it's like, hey, folks, speaking of, you know, Mark, like, you know, the fact that Mark Ruffalo can do better, case in point.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo was great in this, I think.
Now, two different characters, require two different approaches for sure. You know, I think easily the argument could be, well, it's like the other character was supposed to be, you know, a little more introvert, like.
Right.
I don't know.
Isolated. Yeah, I don't.
All isolated.
Secluded. Yeah. Hermit.
But it helps that, you know, Mark Ruffalo was able to really, like, be big, you know.
Yes.
and be, yeah, himself. And it was great. And it was, yeah, he had a pretty good speech there, you know.
Oh, God. I cry so hard.
Yeah.
Do you think, so part two was, do you think he became a better dad, like, after this? Right? Because we see later in the future that Ryan Reynolds is just way more at peace. Like, we can assume that he's had a much better life.
Yeah.
The second go around, right?
True. Right. No, yeah, I think this does help him be a better dad, which, yeah, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that part of it. I felt it was going to be very Adam driven. And then they did have moments where it's like, you know, again, like, yeah, it's showing him taking responsibility. Again,
yeah.
Always a plus. Anytime a male character takes responsibility, yeah, for their actions, hey, turn on, right?
Like, yes. Part three, do you think that he had to die?
Wait, what? Oh, right.
Mark Ruffalo. Or his character.
Right, yeah, right. They never, and that doesn't even really enter the equation, huh? Like, preventing his
he's
death.
Just, yeah, he's just like, I don't want to know. Don't tell me anything. And it's a bummer, right?
And I, like, so they did their job. This is a case of, like, they did their job correctly. No, I don't want him to die. I mean, for the story and, like, I guess the arc's purposes, I suppose so.
Right.
I never want to condone a death of a character, whether it be right. A character or a real person, whatever. I don't really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it kind of fits. And, like, especially for his reasoning and his being so deliberately okay with it and such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that there should be more Ryan Reynolds, Mark Ruffalo team-ups? I thought they acted nicely together.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I mean, eventually, you know, Deadpool is going to try to kill the fucking other Marvel characters, so...
Hulk will stop him.
Gonna get it.
Hulk smash.
Like, there's there was a whole comic book series where, yeah, it was called Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. And sure enough, Deadpool goes through and, yeah, he kills all of the major players, like, you know.
Shit.
With all the
movies that are coming out, maybe he should.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that is the ultimate ending point that we're headed towards. It's like
that would be interesting.
Disney eventually wants to get to. It's like, and it's going to be our first, like, big budget rated R Disney fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. Like,
you know, it's going to happen. I have hope.
Awesome. Well, it's time for our favorite questions.
Favorites.
Favorite performance.
Favorite.
I know, but
really good cast again. It was kind of hard to pick out, but I got to go with, you know, and we didn't mention her the entire time, but Zoe Saldana is in this movie.
Oh yeah, she is. She's great.
And she really, like, it doesn't help that even whenever Zoe Saldana is even a supporting character, she is so, yeah, she just steals the screen time because the camera loves her. She's so much emotional. She's a well of emotion.
Yes.
So much so where it's just like a little, like, can go a long way sometimes, yes, because otherwise, like, it's just like, oh my God, just.
Yes.
Just you.
And she was probably the most, like, humanizing quality for Adam, right? She was the thing that made you root for him a little bit more, because he was kind of an asshole up to the point where we see them reunite.
You're right.
And then it's sort of like, oh, like, look at the love he has here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And even, like, when he has to leave her finally, like, yeah, that's...
Oh, that was so sad.
Some good stuff. And, like, yeah, Zoe Saldana just kills it every time.
She's great.
So Zoe Saldana was... I'm sorry. So she's my honorary. Walker Scoble is my favorite.
I thought that he would be your favorite. But she's great. She's a great honorary. But Walker Scoble...
Yep.
Is your favorite?
Like I said, carries this on his little back. And,
yeah,
you know,
he's so cute.
Reynolds would love to draw attention to that over and over and over again and make him feel bad about it. But you know what? I'm not going to do that because I don't shame a 12-year-old. Okay.
Nice. I think 396 kids auditioned for this role and he got it.
So, yeah. Yeah, that because you know you're fighting for that Ryan. You're really fighting to be Ryan Reynolds, and you're fighting to work with Ryan Reynolds. So, which right. I think got to be like top five highest paid. He's got to be up there. He's got to be up there.
Yeah. So, that's awesome.
That makes sense. Good for him for winning it. I feel like I saw something about a kid who auditioned, but he accidentally said "I love you" to Ryan Reynolds at the end of the audition.
Oh no!
Get it? And I felt that that was weird that they mentioned that. So are we like indicating that we're supposed to think that that wasn't okay, like for him to say "I love you"? I get it. It's a little, you know, a little off, but it's not like whoa,
dude. Right.
Hire that guy.
He just
acted, and like Ryan Reynolds should have had the good sense to be like, well, I'm sure that was an accident.
Right.
So I really, again, kind of makes me question. It's like, is Ryan Reynolds a good person? I don't know. If we're not giving people parts because they accidentally say I love you, which you shouldn't hate on anyway.
Yeah. Weird that they mentioned that. I haven't really heard anything super negative about Ryan Reynolds, so
no, really.
I'm gonna hope that that was like a different choice and they're just anecdoting it, you know.
Exactly. I'm mostly joking. I feel like, yeah, no, that was totally blown out of proportion. Like I feel like that he mentioned that and they rolled with it.
Yeah,
I feel like no, Walker won the part, so
he's so good.
Yeah,
he's a really good kid.
Yeah.
Favorite scene
when Mark Ruffalo punches Ryan Reynolds.
I was hoping this was going to come up. I absolutely adore this.
But a strong runner. Here's the thing, like that, because it was very fulfilling on many levels.
It was, yeah.
He
was like, I'm not taking your shit, bro.
And I just love his, we do not hit in this family, after he just hit him. Like,
so funny.
But I felt like that was the right approach, where it's just like, no, you started it. but it's neck and neck with that, and then the bar scene with his mom.
Oh, so good.
Which people like to make awkward, where it's just like, let's not, it's awkward.
It's lovely.
Fuck out. Yeah, no.
It's so lovely.
No, it was lovely, and yeah, really, really well done, and tastefully done, and just all the things. Yeah, because you got one really good actress and one actor who can be made better by his supporting.
Yeah, that scene was good too, because it did show like another emotional side of him. You know, anytime you see something that's not the sarcastic a-hole, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll agree with that. Favorite quote.
So, and it's from that scene, you know, and on it, like, you know, it's just, yeah, hits it right on the nose. Boys always come back for their mamas.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Good ones, anyway. Like,
so, yeah. Yes, I totally agree.
I believe it is good advice, I've heard this advice before, where it's just like, you know, ladies, pay attention to how, you know, whatever partner you're considering, pay attention to how they treat their mom. Because that's gonna tell you some things. So, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
The waiter.
The scene with Mark Ruffalo and Ryan Reynolds where he's like holding his face. Did that get you?
Oh, of course.
I was like sobbing. I was like, this is like,
it's the new,
so good.
It's the new, if you remember Good Will Hunting, there's a great scene, Robin Williams, the famous, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Your fault. It's the new, not your fault scene.
Yeah.
God damn it. Cause yeah, no, he's, yeah.
It gets
Mark
me
Ruffalo
so hard.
The weight that it need, like, I felt like it was addressing, a lot of, kids in America.
Yeah.
Men in America.
Yeah. Yeah, nope. It's
nailed it.
Such a good reminder to just like let go of your shit. Love yourself.
Stop being
so much. It was a very heavy moment. And then for them to end it with them playing catch was just like, it really brought it kind of nice. You hate that part. I like that part.
It's not that I hate it. It just really, you know, it's just kind of, it's just
cliche.
Kind of obvious.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, cliche. Yeah.
You're not wrong.
But doesn't make it any less. It was deserved. It was earned. It was all of these things. And cliche. It can be all of those things.
Yeah, because cliches are cliches for a reason. Yeah. It's because they work on some level.
Right. And this, because this needed to happen for sure. I won't deny that at all. But at the
right.
But I couldn't also avoid the feeling. I was like, oh, for God.
Really? Well, for me, it's nice because, like, I'm still wiping the tears off of my face from the.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's what it was there for.
Well, excellent. I think that was. So, would you rewatch and recommend?
So, I want to rewatch to not be blinded by my rage.
Need to rewatch, like, knowing. Earlier I said it's got, like, a nice rewatchability. And I think it's because, like, you sort of have that part, like, out. You know? Like, well, it exists and you know it exists.
Exactly. I have a better understanding. And I can just brace myself for those moments. I don't think those moments are going to get any easier for me. I feel like that because it's so Ryan Reynolds' sense of humor, I guess. But I just feel like, yeah, we could have pulled back. It's just too mean-spirited sometimes.
Yeah. You know?
So I that probably won't get over that. But, you know, I do want to watch it without the blinding hatred.
Good.
And
love
see
that.
Would I recommend it? I don't know if I can, because again, I don't feel like it's too snarky. And I don't know. It's too mean-spirited.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, yes, the message is there, but I don't feel like that was totally 100% the point they were trying to make.
Okay.
I feel like the point was there, but they really just wanted to do fun, stupid shit.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
So. What would you rate it out of 5 stars?
I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay.
Might be bumped up to a 2.5 maybe at some point, but it's lucky that it didn't get a 1.5.
Damn. You because hated it.
It's the character. It really is the character.
That's a bummer.
Because if you take out, maybe Ryan, I might have been able to tolerate it more if Robert Downey Jr. played the Ryan Reynolds part.
Mm.
Maybe. Just because there's already a bar of douchery set for Robert Downey Jr. Ryan Reynolds, I wanted to give the benefit of the doubt, but now this makes me question. It's just like, I thought you were on the side of good.
Yeah.
You're Canadian, motherfucker. But, yeah, so 2, but potential to go up.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I do wonder, like, because I also noticed, like, the snarkiness that he has towards his younger self, but I do wonder if you're more sensitive to it just because you've gone through, like, the healing, you know?
I think so. I think that's the big part, because that's, like, all I kept seeing was, like,
yeah.
Just, like, it's like, this is, we should not be, like, yeah, I got too defensive with it, where it's just, like, we
yeah.
should not be, like, sending this message, like, and I get, but I think that is the point the movie's trying to make, so I don't know. Maybe I'm making the point for the movie itself, but
right.
It doesn't, yeah. Okay, so maybe that was the point, but it doesn't make it any more comfortable to watch, I guess.
Yeah, I totally get that. Reboot. It's such a weird question to ask when it's a brand new movie.
Yeah.
But maybe you would want to with a different actor.
Right. I did say no, though.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think that would be the condition. Like, a reboot with Robert Downey Jr., maybe. But overall, like, yeah, because we can have other sci-fi action comedies.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
Especially with time travel thrown in. I'm glad that time travel, yeah, I think you advised me not to pay attention to that part. And I'm glad I didn't, because I'm pretty sure it didn't make sense, but it didn't matter because I wasn't letting it register.
Yes, totally. Totally. Well, good.
Yeah, overall, good movie, good experience, because it brought up all these feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to sit with those.
So I do think it's good that it, good for that reason.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. So that takes care of the Adam Project. That takes care of both of our movies.
Hell yeah, it does.
I think it's time to talk about the point of the show, which is the connections.
Yeah, let's do it.
Chess pawns, clock, matches, all physical objects man-made.
Small in size, light in weight. It's the connection.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
All right, so connections. Casey, what do you got?
All right.
Romeo Must Die and The Adam Project.
I'm going to start with my most vague, which is both of them have a cheesy feel and some cheesy dialogue. That's nice. My most vague. Both movies have some kick-ass fight scenes.
Yeah, true.
Both main characters...
It's a lightsaber, dude.
both main characters have daddy issues.
Yeah, right. I don't know why I didn't write that down. They really do.
They sure do. And then both characters have an against all odds love relationship / interest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I danced around that idea of like, yeah, both leads kind of don't mind breaking the rule, like really pushing the rules to the limit. Yeah. Both lead characters are skilled fighters.
Yes.
Both have names in the title.
Yes, that's true. It's a great connection. I missed it.
Let's see. Oh, so then both antagonists commit suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Fuck. Mm-hmm.
Catherine Keener in a very weird way.
And yeah.
Does bring, again, like, do not pay attention to the time travel aspect because that creates a paradox.
Right.
If she kills her younger self, how does she grow up to be that older self that shoots herself?
Right.
But let's not get into that.
Yeah, we can't focus on it.
Awesome. So there's our connections. Very
hell yeah.
Good. So we get to keep the show going.
Yes.
And now let's talk about a new segment we've introduced where we let you know about some movie matchmaking we did for you.
But look at this nice thing though we have here.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch.
So this is where we let you know about, you know, if you enjoyed this movie, here's some other movies that you might enjoy just as well. So if you enjoyed The Adam Project. You enjoyed The Adam Project. No, I'm just kidding.
I do.
I'm pushing the joke. Come on now.
Push the buttons.
It got two stars. Okay. So if you liked The Adam Project, you might like The Tomorrow War.
With Chris Pratt.
Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow, that's with Tom Cruise, I believe.
Tom Cruise, okay.
Friend of the show? Not. He's an enemy of the show.
Yeah. The Messiah.
And, of course, Back to the Future, because this really kind of references it. Two different reasons. And it's kind of got the campiness factor, you know.
The nerdiness is there. Yeah, totally. Right. Love that. Awesome. Well, if you liked Romeo Must Die, you might also enjoy Rush Hour.
Yeah.
Mr. Nice Guy.
Fuck. Yeah.
It's sorry. A stretch.
I forget about how I feel about that movie. Yep.
And then Rumble in the Bronx, which we mentioned and we have an episode about.
Absolutely. And God, I'm going to take every... I might have to fucking watch that.
I love it.
It's one of those movies. It's, you know, it's one of those connection to my joy bone movies. Like,
yes.
Yes. So good. Hey, shithead, you're gonna die. Okay, enough of that. So we've got our matchmaking, you know. Recommendations. How about it?
All right. Well, my recommendation's a little weird. but that's okay because I'm a little weird. My recommendation is to get out with nature and find some good in people.
Why would you mend such a thing?
I just got back from a 5-day hippie festival. It was so joyful. There was art. It's called the Oregon Country Fair.
Well, call it 5-Day Hippie Fest.
OCF. It's only 3 days for the public.
Oh,
but I'm a volunteer there. And it's just like, I feel so refreshed getting back from that. Like, I feel connected with the world a little bit. I feel genuine, like, happiness with people right now, which I was really not feeling when I left.
Yeah.
It's just like so nice to get into a place where everybody is so kind.
Yes, right.
And everybody's just treating each other so lovely, and I don't know. The whole thing was just so beautiful, and it recharged my soul. I feel so much better about the world coming home than I did.
Fuck yeah. Maybe I need to go one of these days.
You should. It's magic.
I do see, like, some friends I follow, like, on Instagram, like, yeah, they'll post, like, oh, I went to the,
Country Fair, OCF. Yep. Yeah, it's really cool. There's 20 stages with different entertainment, some of it being music, some of it being, like, acrobat shows or circuses, and there's so much food. There's so much food. It's so glorious. It's just so lovely.
Love it.
Yeah, I miss it already.
Get out in nature, people.
Yeah, go. And, you know, if you can't go to a festival like this, go camping with your friends, because it's almost as good, right? If you're surrounded by people you like and you're out in the woods.
Yeah. Wear some sunscreen, though, for fuck's sake.
For real.
Walking places a lot more. And yeah, I
burned.
I need to. Well, especially when I wear the shorter sleeves, which I've only started doing because the weather's been nice for it. But. I don't get bad burns because I don't, like, I've only been, like, out in it for hour plus.
Shorter amounts.
But still, I'm like, ooh, I gotta wear sunscreen, yeah.
Yeah, sunscreen is also, by the way, to everyone listening, it's also the number one anti-age fighting, like, skincare that you can do. So, like, putting sunscreen on and putting face lotion that has sunscreen on in it is, like, the best way to fight wrinkles. So, yeah.
We can't all look like Ryan Reynolds at the age of 45.
Love it.
Awesome. I'm going to recommend a podcast that just came out with some awesome Christmas in July and Halloween in July content.
Ooh, called fun.
Bent Calendar House. Big fan of theirs. They talk about holiday specials, mostly the Christmas ones. And yeah, they're just really good. So give them a listen, give them a follow on the Twitters and all the other social medias. That's the Advent Calendar House.
You know, I don't know if it is because it's July or because it's like finally like too hot for my comfort level. But I was thinking about Christmas movies this morning and how much I wish that I could be a person that could just put one on right now. But I'm not that person.
I feel like we've attempted it in the past.
It's and so it just, hard when it's too hot. Yeah, I can't get into it.
Yep. Nope. It doesn't work. And it doesn't. Frankly, it pisses you off. You're just like, wish I were in there.
Right. I think that's probably how people in like warm states feel, like California and Florida. They don't really get cold Christmas time.
Yeah.
Like we do in Oregon. And, you know, and even us, we don't get like crazy snow like some states do.
Get ready.
But like, I can't really imagine being in the Christmas spirit if I lived in one of those states December.
Like I was there like in
January
in California, and yeah, there were Christmas lights hung up. It's like, you guys celebrate Christmas here? So weird.
You know, it's warm outside, right?
That it's like Jacob. That you know, it's a holiday.
That's it hilarious. Just,
it would feel weird. Yeah. Awesome. Great recommendations. If you have a recommendation of your own that you want to let us know about, or if you just want to say, hey, you can shoot us an email.
At movieconnectionpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Instagram.
At The Movie Connection, all one word.
Or you can follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at KC Schwartz.
We've got Facebook, all that good stuff. Hey, head over to Apple Podcasts. Maybe give us a rate and a review of 5 stars. Mm-hmm. Most appreciated.
Yes, please.
With that out of the way, I think the time has come, right?
It's time.
Get the movies for next week. Mm-hmm. All right. I've been wanting to discuss this one for a while. Let's get into it, Casey. You're going to be watching The Batman.
Oh, shit.
It's happening. And, it's a long one, just forewarning.
I'm going to assign you Ant-Man.
Ant-Man! Hey, all right.
Because you've seen Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes.
You've never seen Ant-Man.
Right. So this will be an interesting order, and maybe we can talk about that. Has anybody else done movie 2 and then gone back to movie 1?
You know, yeah. Like
that. This is going to be a good matchup, though.
I'm excited.
The connections, they're there. They're there.
Ooh. They might be a little hard to find. They might be ant-sized connections.
Hey, you know.
I think that will be cool.
Hell yeah, that's gonna look good on people in people's queue. It's like Ant-Man.
It might be a real nice mashup too, because yours is pretty heavy and Ant-Man is light in the way that only Paul Rudd's movies can be.
Hell yeah.
So maybe there'll be a nice counterbalance there. Maybe a good double feature.
Exactly. All right. Looking forward to it. Well, tune in next week, everybody, for Ant-Man and the Batman.
Hell yeah.
All right, take care, everybody. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Match. All physical objects man-made. Born inside the night. It's the connection.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
So, we are all connected in the great circle of life.